Good day, good people. I'm Brother Robert Farrell, and that was Jason Silva. You will hear more from him later on. Welcome to Contemplative Inner Beings Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live here on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central on Crowdcast. And whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you for being part of Contemplative Inner Beings Wisdom Wednesday. Well, what is wisdom? Well, wisdom begins with awe, something we will be talking about quite a bit this evening. And wisdom isn't knowing more. It's not accumulating more information. It's really knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And so Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation for you to open to the depths of yourself, of your intellect, your will, your emotions, to the depths of all of you, your wholeness. Yes, open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of human consciousness and the heart. Today, we're going to encounter three brief wisdom musings, and each one's going to be followed by a minute of silence, an opportunity for you to enter into contemplative practice where you're invited to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Those are our four watchwords in this practice. Resonate. Does something connect with you? It might be symbolized by a single word or phrase you hear. Reflect, that's just to sit and meditate with images and thoughts. Respond, you can respond in any way, by journaling, by prayer, or maybe even by body movement. And rest. This practice is simply to be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. To open to that momentary awe that might just occur. After those three sessions and brief times of practice, we're going to close with a spiritual practice and a group dialogue. And we are entering into this evening's theme, which is the beginner's mind. So with an open heart, a calm, centered presence, and a gentle breath, together we begin. You know that every time disciples are tempted to get into their heads or into their religious smugness or to settle the dust before they've learned its lessons, Jesus brings a child in front of him. If you do not go back to square one and start over like a child, you will never be able to see the new reality. And the only people who can recognize or be ready for what Jesus is talking about are the ones who come with the mind and heart of a child. That is the beginning place of opening ourselves up for all. And this is actually the same reality as the beginner's mind. You know, the older we get, the more we've been betrayed and hurt and disappointed, the more barriers we end up putting up to the beginner's mind. We move further away from the immediate delight and curiosity that we have as small children. We must never presume that we see, and we must always be ready to see anew. I know, it's hard to be vulnerable. Try to think of yourself as a erased blackboard, ready to be written on. And by and large, what blocks spiritual teaching is the assumption that we already know, or that we don't need to know. Well, and that's certainly a big a block to wisdom as well. So we have to pray for the grace of beginner's mind. Just like the blind man, we need to say, I want to see. Spirituality is about seeing. It's about relationship. And once we see, the rest of it just follows. We don't need to push the river because we're in the river. The life is lived within us. And we can learn how to say yes to that life. It takes a beginner's mind. A beginner's mind opens us to awe and wonder and the true presence. The true presence with God and with others. Beginner's mind is one's mind before the hurts of life have made us cautious and self-protective. And mostly, beginner's mind is someone who is not in their mind yet. That's the freedom. The only people who can experience real presence are those who are vulnerable and don't have any ego boundaries to defend. Perhaps easier said than done. When we encounter the freedom of a child, we can choose to participate in their liberation, or we can grow to resent the freedom in them. And the tragedy? Well, the tragedy is that as we distance ourselves from the delight of our youth, we become increasingly prone to disillusionment. To reclaim the awe of our child selves, to allow ourselves to be taken by the beauty of a thing, allows goodness to take up the space in its often denied in our interior worlds. The path to wonder is not sophistication or intellect or articulation. And our faith, well, our faith is held together by wonder. And in the silence, we can take time to resonate, reflect, respond, rest, and let that open us to awe and wonder. Fear, well, fear is transmuted into beginner's mind, which is what grace always does. It turns our vices into another way to love and serve God's reality. What starts as timidity becomes humility and openness and teachability. And it is that enduring sense of openness and humility that does not close down by reason of failure, facts, or cynical old age. It asks for and listens to good advice. It creates and values team over grandstanding and self-made careers. Intense knowledge that we cannot do it gives us the certainty that God is doing it. Yet healthy self-doubt allows us to trust and admire another. And that's not a bad metamorphosis for fear. Think of it that every biblical theophany from Moses to Mary speaks of the recipient as being afraid, aware of their own finiteness and incapacity to receive what is happening. And yet, the word from God is, do not be afraid. To be wonderstruck is to suffer one's own littleness and to understand the mercy anyway. Few people allow themselves to be chosen. They would rather be worthy. But it is when we are weak that we are strong. And this ever-rediscovered beginner's mind, which is a death-like vulnerability before reality, it keeps us forever growing and forever young. You know, the child mind is a place of surrender, alertness, and nakedness. It's a space where there is little, if any, self-consciousness. There's no judgment of others. It is a time of humility. It involves an awareness of one's nothingness, where one is no thing. And the child mind recognizes the person's smallness and yet connection in the scheme of things. The child mind recognizes the person's smallness and yet connection in the scheme of things. There is a spark in each person that represents one's true nature, that jewel on Indra's net. And this spark is the child mind, fresh and always curious about experience. Beginner's mind reflects the open and enthusiastic quality of a child's mind in the present moment, a mind that is empty and ready for new things. If your mind is empty, it is always ready for anything. It is open to everything. And in the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. If you keep your original mind, the precepts will keep themselves. And when we have no thought of achievement, no thought of self, that's when we are true beginners. Then we can really learn something. And the beginner's mind is the mind of compassion. Because when our mind is compassionate, it is boundless. Just like silence. Silence, a place where we can practice, where we can resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Friends, you know, we are often nostalgic for the good old days, the good old bad days. And we miss the predictability and sense of control that we once felt, where everything was known. We look back on our time with nostalgia because we struggle to bear the uncertainty we face. And freedom is ultimately uncertain and unpredictable. One of the first lessons we all must learn in order to be free is how to bear uncertainty and trust in the unknown. To not know what is going to happen next and to trust the unfolding journey. To go forward, we need to exercise curiosity, to take in and explore new experience, to practice beginner's mind. We can develop beginner's mind, that place to experience something new and fresh while experiencing the very same thing each day. And instead of seeking the answers that might put our questions to rest, we learn to continually live the questions, as Rilke says. To understand that the journey to freedom is about remaining awake and curious and not going into sleep mode. Beginner's mind is, it's a way of life. And each day we are challenged to see the same familiar people and landscapes with new eyes. Just as the cosmos is created and sustained anew each moment, everything is alive and changing, ourselves included, if we are spiritually awake and paying attention. When we see existence as alive with possibility, we come out of Egypt, our personal places of bondage and constriction. And we need to balance our knowing with a willingness not to know. The mind of itself, the brain in itself, is incapable of wisdom. It's only at an experiential level of existence that we know something. That knowing is not subject. Sorry, I'll say that. Phrase that correctly. That knowing is not subject to telling. So we need to enter the cloud of forgetting, to forget all our certitudes, all our labels, all our explanations. They have nothing to do with objective reality. We are so convinced that we know, it's frightening. We have eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thinking that we, separate from the divine, could correctly judge anything, good and evil. And when we lead off with our judgments, well, we largely live in an illusion and prejudice. And love will seldom happen. And when we bear the ambiguity, the inconsistencies, and the brokenness of all things, that is our ultimate act of solidarity with humanity and with the world. When we bear the ambiguity, the inconsistencies, and the brokenness of all things, that is our ultimate act of solidarity with humanity and with the world. And when we enter into the cloud of forgetting, letting go of our hurts and our labels, then we must go into the cloud of unknowing, where we actually don't need to label anymore. We don't need to know that we know. That is the authentic meaning of the word faith. It is the willingness to live with a certain degree of humility. It is an urgent need to remain open, to remain forever a student. It is humility before reality, and never assuming that we understand. What a different world it would be if we all lived with that kind of humility. And contemplative practice is partially that. To enter into the practice with humility, admitting that we don't know what we think we know, and to rest there, to respond there, to reflect there, to resonate there in the silence. May your heart, mind, and body be open and vulnerable to receive like a little child. Those are our musings on this Wisdom Wednesday, and now I'd like to share with you a spiritual practice as we do each week. And for this week, what I'd like to do with you is actually share another video from Jason Silva talking about awe and wonder. And he may mention beginner's mind, but you know that he's talking about it the whole time as you listen to this. And what this video is he's introducing a course that he offered quite a while ago. I just happen to have the video. But in the introduction, there's so many things that can be used as your spiritual practice. So let's take a listen to Jason. Or find the video. Here we go.
Well, I think the experience of awe is decentering and re-centering. The experience of awe is revivifying. It brings you back to life. There's been recent research, places like Berkeley and Stanford, who have studied the cognitive benefits of awe, the psychotherapeutic benefits of experiences, of encounters with awe. The first thing they do, of course, is they define what awe is. So it's important to understand that. An experience of awe is an experience with such perceptual expansion, an encounter with such perceptual vastness. Think of the Grand Canyon or the waterfalls of Iceland. The encounter with vastness decenters you. It obliterates you. The inner chatter gets cast aside. It's an experience of bewilderment. And in the dizzying reverie and intoxication of encountering the territory beyond your maps, you are revivified. And by the time you come back into yourself, you feel better. And so through this course, my hope is that through these modules, through these poems and these songs and these reveries that I've tried to capture, that you catch a buzz, you catch a feeling, you catch a glimpse, and perhaps the whole experience of awe. That's the aim of becoming awestruck. Well, I think we're blocked by our trauma. We're blocked by our fears. We're blocked by experiences that have happened to us that have rewired our nervous systems and that have informed our interpretive frameworks and our lenses of perception. And so we meet the world through a prism of expectation and catastrophizing. We're afraid to show ourselves. We're afraid to let go of ourselves. We're afraid to be vulnerable. We're afraid to let our guard down. And all of these things become shields that block the light, right? They block the full radiance of experience, the full radiance of experience the world, of experiencing the world nakedly and without inhibition. And so we're trapped inside of our own hypervigilance, and we can't experience anything because we're sedated by our own fears. In order to keep our fears at bay, we relinquish the world and we relinquish ourselves. And so this becomes a kind of existential blockage. You know, you could be looking at the most beautiful sunset, but you're afraid to feel. It's like the end of that wonderful film where, forget the name of the film, but this father is telling his son, who's just experienced the worst heartbreak ever, not to close his heart to the world. And then he gives him a warning and he says, to make ourselves feel nothing so as not to feel anything. What a waste. And so our fears and our traumas become blockages. We're trying to protect ourselves from getting hurt again, but the price we pay of that protection from that protection is that we don't get to see the radiance anymore. We shrink away from the world, and we shrink away from even our own emotions, and we don't allow ourselves to feel anything. But again, to make ourselves feel nothing so as not to feel anything, what a waste. And this, again, this is a waste, and this is a blockage, and we're going to try to unblock you through these modules. How does an album cover open you up? You know, how does a beautiful film jolt you into awakening? I mean, all I can say is that I hope that this content, that these reflections, that these contemplations do something to you, right? Because they are glimpses of experiences in which I myself was decentered. I went to a beautiful place. I swam in a beautiful ocean. I jolted myself and italicized my perception of the world in order to tap into that grace and that voice. And I captured that, right? So hopefully you pick up on that, right? Hopefully you get infected by my flow, by the lightning in a bottle that I was hopefully able to capture. But it might not work for you, right? My hope is that it does, but it might not. Allow it to wash over you. Submit to it like the way you might submit to an album cover, you know, to an album, a musical album. And if you do submit, if you surrender to the experience, my hope is that you will be infected by some of what I experienced in the recording of this course. I mean, this was like making an album. I am not the same person, and I hope that you can feel that and experience that through undertaking this experience of becoming awestruck.
I get awestruck each time I listen to him, so thank you all for sharing in that with me. We are at the place of our evening where we say goodnight to our podcast and YouTube listeners, and we invite them to join us live here on Crowdcast each Wednesday at 6 p.m., so that they can become part of the dialogue that we enter into next. And to say goodnight, we like to remind you that love is the way and that you are love. So stay awesome and be love. We hope to see you again soon.